Welcome to worship at Spanish Fork United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're here on this rainy day. Even though it's rainy outside, the Spirit is alive in this place. And we just remind you to please fill out your attendance using the binders at the ends of the pews. And now let us worship God together. Now please stand as we sing our opening hymn together, "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you. morning. Let us come together this morning to affirm our faith. So, church, I ask you, what is it that we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Before I pray today, a couple of notes, pastoral notes to pass along to you, and then I want to introduce our speaker today, Dr. John Oswald. We have lost a couple of our beloved members this past week. Mike Williams and also Sabra Adkins passed away the weekend. Arrangements for them have not been made yet, but we will be posting those for you and announcing when those service times will be. But our prayers and thoughts with the Adkins family and with the Williams family, especially today. We are very excited and delighted to have Dr. John Oswald with us today. He returned to Asbury Theological Seminary in 2009 as a visiting distinguished professor of the Old Testament. This is his third term at Asbury Seminary. From 1970 to 1982, he was professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages. Again, in 1989 to 1999, as professor of Old Testament. He's also served as a research professor of Old Testament at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi from 1999 to 2009. He was also president of Asbury College from 1983 to 1986. And a member of the faculty of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, from 86 to 89. He's the author of 11 books, and most notably, a two-volume commentary on the book of Isaiah, New International Commentary in the Old Testament. His most recent book, The Holy One of Israel, Studies in the Book of Isaiah, was released in 2014. He's an ordained minister in the United Methodist Church with membership in the Kentucky Annual Conference. He's received his undergraduate degree from Taylor University, a BD and THM from Asbury Seminary, an MA and PhD from Brandeis University. And he would probably say, most importantly, he is married to the former Karen Kennedy, and they have three children and two grandchildren. We are so pleased to have him come and speak today. He did a marvelous job at our men's retreat this weekend, and he will be coming to share with us after the dedication today. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. John Oswald. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you today for the marvel of your grace. We thank you today that your mercies are new every day. Thank you, God, for we need those mercies. As a church body, as a church family, we mourn the loss of loved ones in this past week. Truly, Lord, we weep with those who weep. We pray your mercies and the comfort and consolation of your spirit for the family of Mike Williams and Sabra Adkins. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to you and to your church. And we pray, God, that you would fill their family with the hope of heaven and the comfort and peace of your spirit. And for all of us, God, who knew and loved them and called them friend, We pray your mercies today upon us. God, as we weep with those who weep, we also rejoice, God, with those who are rejoicing, and we thank you, Lord, in the pivotal moments of our emotions. And God, we would praise you for your goodness to us, for the hope that we do have in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the assurance of our salvation in Christ. Thank you, God, for the fellowship of like-minded believers that we can come together and affirm our faith and support each other and share in the love of Christ. We pray, Lord, that we would feel and know your presence today through all that is done in worship. We thank you, God, especially today for the presence of John Oswalt. Pray, Lord, your blessing and empowerment for him today. And as we have been praying, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear all that you have for us this day. We give you thanks, Lord. In and through the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And may we be bold to pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite the children to come forward in these moments with Ms. Kelly.
Good morning, everyone. We're gonna sit on the third one. Yeah. Come on up, guys. Yes, get over just a little bit. All right. Good morning. Come on up, guys. Come on up. All right. I have a couple of things here. Come a little bit closer. I have a couple of things to show you. So, in just a few weeks, some of us will be going to camp. Here, sit right here. There we go. Hey, little buddy. And so now whenever people go to camp, they usually take a map. Okay. You can hold this for me. Thank you, sir. And a compass. Now, I don't have a compass, but there's an app for that. Okay. So, and a compass needle always points north. So if a traveler knows which way is north, he will know what direction he's traveling. So if I only had a map and a compass, and I knew how to properly use them, the map would show me the way to go, and the compass would have pointed me in the right direction. And as we travel through life, we need a map and a compass too, and God has given us those. God has given us the Bible to be our map on the journey through life, but sometimes it's difficult for us to understand. And it's hard to know the way to go. And God knew that, so he sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scripture and guides us in the right direction. That is what Jesus meant when he told his disciples, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth." Now, going back to our camping trip, for the first time, moms, don't worry. Mr. Larry will be our guide, and we will use Google Maps. Because I do not know how to use a map or a compass. So we will not be wandering the back roads of Andalusia trying to find our way to Blue Lake. So we don't have to worry about north, south, east, or west, or how to follow the sun or the moon. But you know what is a good idea in life? When you are lost and confused, if you can't read the map and you don't have a compass, just follow the sun, but follow God's sun. Now, let's pray before we go to Children's Church. Dear Father, we thank you for giving us your holy word to be our roadmap through life. We also thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our guide. Most of all, we thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. Amen.
As the ushers come, may we pause in these moments to go to God as we bless the offering today. Lord, thank you for the abundance that you have given to us spiritually, physically, materially, in every way. We pray, Lord, knowing you are the owner of all things, that in our stewardship and faithfulness that we would give freely and joyfully as you've given to us. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
remain standing for the reading of God's holy word.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, beginning to read at verse 20. Wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am shown to be holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to your word as people with dry mouths come to a spring of cool water. Speak to us today from your word, by your spirit, and send us out refreshed and renewed, able to demonstrate your holiness to the world. In your name, amen. You may be seated. What a delight it is to be with you. Thank you so much. One of the things that I like about traveling and preaching is I get to meet the rest of my family. And it has been so good to meet a bunch of guys this weekend and now to meet the rest of you as well. So thank you for the privilege, Pastor, of speaking using your pulpit. I know what it is to give up your pulpit. That's not easy. There's a phrase that we used this morning that I think is the most throwaway phrase in the Christian church. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, what? Hallowed be thy name. What in the world does that mean? In the little country church where I grew up, we tried to be very, very religious, and so we said, hallowed be thy name. I used to wonder, how do you hollow out God's name? Do you do it with a pocket knife on the back of the pew in front of you? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? What is holy anyway? We all know what holy is. Holy is a little old lady with a flat black hat and long sleeves and long hems and a sweet smile and a wicked umbrella. No teenager on earth would be caught being that. Holy? What is that? Oh, holy is to be absolutely other. Other. Something that raises the hair on the back of your neck. God is here, said Jacob, and I didn't know it. Holy is to be other. Other than you, other than me, other than this world, other than anything we can imagine. It is to be high and lifted up. We heard it in wonderful music here a moment ago. He is holy. And what are we saying when we pray that prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Now, name in the Bible usually doesn't mean your label. You know, my label is John. Change the label and it'd still be the same old bod. But in the Bible, it's usually not the label. It's your character. It's your reputation. We use it that way sometimes. You know, George has a good name in this community. Oh, something special about G-E-O-R-G-E? No. Or, where's Bill? Oh, didn't you know? He's gone off to make a name for himself. Oh, my goodness. His mama didn't name him, huh? Holy be your name. Oh, God, let the world see you as you really are in your glory. That is beyond any glory we can imagine. In your love, which is beyond any love we can describe. Let the world see you as the Savior in me this week. That's what you just prayed. Hallowed be thy name. Did you catch what the scripture said? Here are the Hebrew people. After 1,000 years of breaking their covenant, God's patience finally comes to an end. And he says, okay, I'll let this good land spit you out. And they've gone into captivity in Babylon. And the text says, everywhere they went, they profaned my holy name. Now, you've had this experience. You've read a passage many, many times, and one day, it grabs you. That happened to me a while ago. I saw that. I said, oh, my goodness. They were so upset about going into captivity, they were cursing God. They were profaning his name. Then I read the rest of the verse. You know, that's the most important thing in Bible study. Read the rest of the verse. Everywhere they went, they profaned my holy name in that it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and they had to go out of his land. How did they profane God's name? By making him appear helpless. The Babylonians said, oh, Hebrews, don't feel bad about having to go into captivity. So your God couldn't help you. Our gods can't help us half the time either. It's all right. It's just God. All you have to do, all I have to do to profane God's name is make him appear little and helpless. Everywhere they went, they profaned God's name. What do your neighbors think of your God? Is he holy or not? So God says, since you've profaned my name, I'm going to have to do something about it. Now, don't get the big head. I'm not doing this because you deserve it. I'm doing it for the world. The world, that world out there that is broken and angry. Again this morning, an angry, broken man takes a gun and murders 9 people in Monterey. That world needs to know our God. And God says, I'm going to have to do something about it. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to hallow my name among you? Because you see, the only way the world will know that God is holy is if they see it in us. Wow. Look at her God. My goodness, look at his God. Maybe her God could do something for me. Maybe his God could deal with this mess. I will be hallowed among you. Has your God delivered you? Is he able to break the chains of old habits? Is he able to deliver you from the curse of guilty thoughts? Is he holy? God says, I'm going to have to do something for you. Number one, I'm going to have to deliver you from the consequences of your sin. You're in Babylon because of your sin. So, if the world is to know I'm holy, I'm going to have to get you out of here. Now, that's a big deal. As far as we know, no people had ever gone home from captivity before. The whole idea of captivity was to absorb peoples into the empire. Take their distinctive religion, their distinctive language, their distinctive culture, and put it in the mixmaster and produce imperial culture. And God says, I'm going to take you home. I just can imagine people who had smuggled biblical scrolls out with them from Jerusalem at night after they've come home from their slave labor. He's going to take us home. No. Nobody's ever gone home. Yeah, but he's God. I'm going to deliver you from the consequences of your sin. Oh, praise Jesus. That's what he's come to do. He's come to deliver you and you and you and you and you and you from the consequences of our sin. Oh, bless his name. We can walk in white. And on the last day, we can stand before him. Red, white, blue, black, every color of the sun. And there, praise his name. Have you been delivered? Have you allowed him to say to you, you're mine? And the devil has no hold on you. Praise his name. Now, for many people in the Christian church today, that's the end of the story. You accept Jesus as your Savior. You get your bus ticket. And you sit down on the bench and wait for the bus to come. Oh, Ezekiel's just getting started. He says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to cleanse you from your idolatry. What's he talking about? What is it that makes us unclean? The unclean is anything that doesn't belong to God. Because God is clean. It's like light. What is darkness? Anything that isn't light. What is uncleanness? Uncleanness is any part of your life that doesn't belong to God. What's an idol? An idol is your attempt, my attempt, to supply my needs through my own manipulative power. You say, I thought it was having a little statue in your closet. No. No. And it's not your car. It's not your house, necessarily. Idolatry. And I dare say America is as idolatrous a nation as ever existed. I will supply my needs through my power. Through my ability, through my understanding, and you can stand back and watch. And God says, I'm going to have to smash that. I'm going to have to bring you to the place where you say, Lord, I don't know what my needs are. You do. You show me what I need. Lord, I can't supply my needs. Thank you for health. Thank you for ability. Thank you for wisdom. Yes, thank you for all these gifts, but I cannot supply my needs. You have to do it in your way and in your time. I hope you know I love you when I say it, but there are a lot of unclean Christians. There are a lot of unclean church members. Oh, I've accepted Christ. I love Jesus. I'm in church every time the doors are open. But it's my life, and I'm meeting my needs, and I'm using God to meet my needs. Everywhere they went, they profaned my holy name. Are there idols in your life that need to be broken? Do you need to come to a place where you say, Lord, I don't know my needs. You do, and you supply the needs I really need. That's to serve him. But guess what? He's still not done. He says, I'm going to have to break your stony heart. What's he talking about? He's talking about our wills. In every person who is ever born on this planet, there is a will that says, I will have my way. I used to think children were innocent. Then we had some. From the first moment they're born, they're saying, I'm going to have my way, and if I don't get it, I'm going to scream the house down. As we get older, we get a little more civilized, and we figure out how to subdue that a little bit. But there it is. Have you found it? You're far down the road on the Christian life if you've come to grips with it. Oh, I want God's way and my way. And if they come to conflict, God help God's way. That's what destroys marriages. It's what destroys families. It's what destroys churches. I will have my way. And guess what? A stony heart doesn't go away by erosion. It goes away by sledgehammer. Have you ever allowed God to take a sledgehammer to your will? Again, oh my goodness, there's so much lying that goes on in the average Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In me? Oh, brother, sister, if that hasn't happened in your life, I pray it happens soon. I pray that you will fall on your face and say, God, take a sledgehammer to it. I hate it. That's what David said. A broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. Now, heart is not in the Bible primarily the center of affection. You know, how does that work? Valentine's Day, The heart is the control panel of your life. It's where you think, it's where you feel, where you decide. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, break my heart. Gonna deliver you from the consequences of your sins. Gonna cleanse you from your idolatry. Gonna break your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Not the heart that says, I will, but the heart that says, I will. But he's still not done. I said this to the guys yesterday, and I want to say it to you again. If you go out of here this morning saying, Oswalt was pretty persuasive, I'm going to have to try a little harder. I have failed. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon you. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He wants to fill you with his spirit and give you the confidence that he has delivered you from the consequences of your sin. That happened to me. I was the best little Methodist boy you ever met. If there was a church service, I was at the altar. And I knew what all good Methodists know. You go to heaven by being good. But you got to be good enough. And I was never quite sure that I was good enough. Now, I had two older sisters, and they were determined their little brother was not going to go to hell. But I still didn't have much assurance. I still didn't know that heaven was my ultimate destiny. One day when I was a sophomore in college, the Holy Spirit filled me. And I knew. I knew. Would you let the Holy Spirit fill you so that you can know that the consequences of your sin have been taken? Would you let the Holy Spirit fill you and cleanse you from your idolatry? Would you let the Holy Spirit fill you and take a sledgehammer to your stony heart? Now, if you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit is in you. You can't say yes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit enables you to do that. That's the good news. The Holy Spirit is in you. But he's in the guest room. He wants the deed. Have you ever given him the deed? Have you ever said to him, my life, top to bottom, is yours? You can do whatever you want to with me. You can send me wherever you want to send me. You can say whatever you want to say. I'm yours. That's what he wants. He's kind of demanding. I said to the guys yesterday, say it again. A long time ago, I'll not tell you how long ago, I sat on the beach of Lake Michigan. In my pocket was a little velvet-covered box with my whole summer's salary inside that box. And I sat there with Karen Kennedy, prettiest girl in the world. And I said, Karen, I want you. Suppose she had said, well, no, John, you can't have me, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a lifetime of gourmet meals. I'll wash your clothes. I'll bear your kids. But you can't have me.
Would I have been satisfied? No. I didn't want what she could do for me. Now my land, what she has done for me across these years.
We celebrated a big anniversary last summer, and I said to the people, this is a celebration of Karen's perseverance. I wanted her. And thank Jesus, she gave herself to me. That's what Jesus wants. He doesn't want your church going. He doesn't want your tithes. He doesn't want your witnessing. He wants you. Have you ever given you to him? That's the good news of the gospel. We can live the life of God. We don't have to profane his name everywhere we go. We can hallow his name. What a God she serves. Wow. What a God he serves. That's what he wants to do. He wants to deliver you from the consequences of your sin. He wants to cleanse you from your idolatry. He wants to break your stony heart. And he wants to do it all by filling you with himself. He asks for everything. Yeah. E. Stanley Jones, you perhaps know the name, famous Methodist missionary to India. First 5 years, he had a nervous breakdown. Just could not do this. Came back to America to recover. Was here a couple of years and went back to India. And within a year, he was in the same mess. And he says, in the back of a church in Calcutta, I fell on my face and said, God, I cannot do this. And God said, as Jones reports it, Stanley, if you'll give your all to me, I'll give my all to you. Jones said, I recognized the greatest deal in the world right there, and I sealed it. And he did it. Yes, he wants your all, but in return, he'll give you his all. What a deal. What a deal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise your name. Praise your holy name. Would you, God, break our stony hearts, cleanse us from our idolatries, give us the confidence of heaven because we have dared to allow you to have the deed. Would you do that for some people here today, Lord? People who've never done that before, would you give them the grace to believe you to do that for them today? And for those who have done that before, but who've discovered their pail has a leak in it, would you fill them again and anew and make this place an outpost of the holiness of God? In your name, amen.
Please stand.
There is no shame.
prepare to depart from this place, just a few announcements that we wanted to keep you aware of. You'll find plenty of information about our Wednesday nights and other opportunities that we have in your bulletin. We want to remind you of the upcoming info meeting for the mission trip to Costa Rica on January the 29th at 12:30 p.m. And we invite you to come out and support and be with our children as they bring us singing and worship on February the 12th at 8:45 a.m. For any other questions or needs that you have, we're always available and always happy to hear from you in the office, so give us a call. Let us prepare for our benediction. As we go from this place, may God's mercy, may his love, may the joy that he gives us be our everlasting hope to run out and profess to the world above that our God is good and our God is great. And may he break our heart to love him and honor him more. Go in the grace and the peace of our Heavenly Father. Amen.